Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
In case you didn't know, it's Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. But hey, swing on over there. You never know when something might pop up for you, like a running quarterback blog. I mean, oh, wait, sorry about that. That just slipped out. Anyways, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, the crazy.
So, all right, well, Dan and I were unable to find the free roll on Facebook, so I had to break down and do just a regular lineup in a regular contest. Hopefully it comes back tomorrow, but we'll have to see how it goes. Dan thinks it might be over, which would make me very sad. But this is what I came up with today. I am going with Lance Lynn of the St. Louis Cardinals as my starting pitcher. He cost me $8,300, but I believe I saw he's 4-0 in his last 12 starts with an ERA under 2. So I will take that against the San Diego Padres and see how it goes. In my general normal stupidity, I decided since I'm using Lance Lynn, what the hell, I might as well make Yadier Molina my catcher. You know, I thought it was a pretty good deal, $3,000. He's hitting fifth for the Cardinals tonight. First base, I went with Ryan Zimmerman of the Washington Nationals. He's in the cleanup spot for them. He cost me $3,300. Second base is Ian Happ of the Cubs for me tonight. Cost me $3,200, and he's in the leadoff spot for them. As you know, I'm kind of partial to the guys at the top of the order when I can get them, so I'm hoping this works out. I figure there's probably the Cubs will probably do better than score one run tonight, and I'm hoping he's part of that. Third base, I'm going with Asdrubal Cabrera of the Mets. He's hitting third for them tonight. Cost me $3,200. My shortstop is Jorge Polanco of the Twins. He cost me $3,700. He's hitting third for Minnesota tonight. Then my outfield. In the words of Britney Spears, and oops, I did it again. I'm going with Giancarlo Stanton for $4,700. I know he's having a great season, but I've got absolutely squat out of this guy. He's hitting second for the Marlins tonight, so I'm hoping tonight is the night. Then I bounce over. I've got Lorenzo Cain of the Kansas City Royals for $3,400. He's hitting second for them tonight. I didn't have much money left, so I'm hoping this one works out. I had to settle for Alejandro Deaza. Yes, I actually said that. He's in my lineup tonight. He's hitting eighth for the Nationals, and he's a $2,200 player. So I'm hoping that works out. We got to kind of see there. I'm a little concerned there. But anyways, with a recap here, I've got Lance Lynn pitching, obviously. Yadier Molina catching. Ryan Zimmerman at first. Ian Happ at second. Asdrubal Cabrera at third. Jorge Polanco at short. And my outfield consists of Giancarlo Stanton, Lorenzo Cain, and Alejandro Deaza. Did you put a lineup together today?
No, I didn't get the time, and my internet's being slow.
I can tell you, you got about 30 minutes to get this in. This is for the 6:05 starting they've got going on. But I don't know if you noticed this, Dan, but humorously, Kevin Kiermaier homered last night. He didn't do squat for us when we had him in our lineup, but he homered last night. So that was fun and exciting for me. But all right, Dan. Yeah. All right. Ready or not, it's time for week one of the NFL to start. Of course, you know, we kick off with Thursday night. We get the defending Super Bowl champion New England Patriots hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. And, Dan, I got to tell you, I'm so used to baseball, I almost said Royals. But it is the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Chiefs at the Patriots. So we did make picks. Believe it or not, I actually got them all in. And to absolutely nobody's surprise, I'm sure we are all taking New England. So we will have to see how that works out. You know, last year we had the jinx. If we all agreed on a pick, then that team usually lost. But I think we're all pretty confident that New England is going to get the win. I believe kickoff is around 7:30. Dan, are you interested in this? You going to check some of it out? How are you feeling about week one already being here?
I don't know if I'll tune in for the first half, or maybe the second half.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I figure I'll kind of check out as things go along just to see, you know, what's kind of going on and, you know, all that other fun stuff. You know, the tough part is I don't like to sit through, you know, the BS, you know, being that it's week one, you know, there's a lot of pregame and a lot of stuff I don't need to, you know, to deal with. I mean, I don't want to see the pregame ceremonies. And I know they were talking about the fact that, I guess Roger Goodell may attend. So.
Ooh, big deal. What did he do?
Yeah, well, I guess they apparently made towels with clown faces on them in case he attends. That's the big thing there for them to do. And it's kind of like, yeah, whatever. You know how much money this guy makes a year? I don't think he gives a crap if his face is on a towel. Or a clown face is on a towel that's supposed to be him. You know, I know just recently, and I don't think this affects any fantasy people unless you're in like a super deep league, but the Patriots have added a couple wide receivers to the injury list. Malcolm Mitchell was actually put on the IR, which means he's going to be out until about week 7 or something, I think is when they can officially bring him back. And then their best special teamer is also a wide receiver by the name of Matthew Slater. They list him as questionable with a knee injury. I don't believe any of the other, you know, other positions. Everybody else is a defensive player. The Chiefs only list defensive players on their injury report. So, you know, as you know, Spencer Ware is already out for the season for them, so you don't have to worry about that. But yeah, you know, obviously you got to get your lineups adjusted. I actually had to go through, Dan. I had a Dolphin linebacker on one of our teams and then a Tampa Bay linebacker on the other team. So I had to go in and make a couple changes. I know I could have waited till Sunday, but I figured I would just get it out of the way now. You know, I don't have any offensive guys from those teams. I know you have Jameis Winston, so you'll have to play is it your backup quarterback, right? I'm assuming he's your starter.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a good thing that was announced early because Alex Smith is my other quarterback in the one league.
Oh. So, yeah, definitely a good thing. So, you know, you were able to get in and make the change, beforehand. And, you know, I'm assuming, you know, being that it's week one, I think he'll have probably a pretty good week, you know, cause nobody's really, you know, all that set or all that ready to go come, you know, this time of year. So we'll have to, you know, have to see how it goes, but, I just don't know. I'm a little excited that football's back, but it, for some reason, it seems like it's here too early. And I don't know if that's just me or how that is. I mean, do you feel that way or am I just kind of out there on a limb by myself?
I think it's because we're baseball guys.
Yeah, that probably has a lot to do with it as well. I mean, I, you know, do prefer to kind of, you know, hang out and watch the, you know, the baseball stuff and, you know, all that, which is, you know, what I'll probably end up doing most of the night tonight anyways. I'll just stick to whatever you know, whatever baseball game is on and go, you know, go that route. But, you know, we'll see. Who knows? Maybe I'll find something that I, you know, that catches my interest in the football game. But I would have to say no right off the top of the bat, as, you know, as far as that goes. So.
Well,
now, do you have besides
fantasy? You know, I, what is it? 14 weeks. Well, we're only 14 weeks, so, or I think we go longer, but you know, that's not including the playoffs. But when it comes to fantasy, how important is it in your league to, you know, win this first week, do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it depends on, you know, how your league is set up. Like, you know, oddly, when it, you know, when it comes to, you know, like Mr. Fantasy and I, our league is set up where you play multiple games, you know, on the same week. I don't know. I don't remember if it's two or three, but, you know, you don't want to start off, obviously, you know, let's say it's two. You don't want to start off 0-2. You know, where, like, I think, you know, like, you know, in our league, you know, hey, if you drop, you know, if you drop the first game, I think you can handle it. It's not a, you know, it's not a huge deal. You know, oddly, the, you know, the thing that kind of always gets me is, like, if my team goes out and just stinks, it actually truly disappoints me. You know, when my team does poorly like that, and I'm just kind of like, wow, what the hell happened to these guys? So, you know, I'm hoping that I, you know, if I lose, it's at least a close game. But yeah, I don't know, you know, otherwise how to really, you know, how to really handle it. I mean, you don't panic over one loss, do you?
No, I mean, I think with ours being that you get so many points, you know, for the category being a category league, I think that's make that what that's what makes a difference. You know, because I mean, you could lose, but it could be, you know, even if it's, I'd rather have a high scoring loss than being dominated. You know, where it's like 15-14
yeah.
And I lose, 15-18 and I lose. I don't know how many categories we have, but. Where, you know, when you get caught up in the one where it's like 20-5, which is actually happening to me right now in baseball.
Yeah, I checked to see how my baseball is doing. I got off to a rough start in the one league because he had a couple of pitchers go early in the week, and I didn't have my guys go yet, so I was a little behind the eight ball to start, but you know, that normally evens out as the pitching kind of catches up. But yeah, I kind of hate that too. I hate going out and just getting, you know, getting stomped. I mean, I understand if you're, you know, you're not changing your lineup or something, well, you would probably expect to get stomped. But yeah, you know, I actually play every week like Dan does. We're always changing our lineups and checking our stuff and, you know, making sure we're ready to go. And yeah, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, and I mean,
No, I'm still getting slapped around a little, down 17-9, so I got to get going.
Yeah, well, fortunately, the one I'm getting beat up in, I don't think they're going to make their innings. I'm up against two dead teams. But, you know, I even was able to demolish Mr. Fantasy, and he was changing his lineup. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like, I'm hoping to make up a little ground on this guy tonight because I have Corey Kluber and John Lester going. So I think that'll be a big plus for me. So.
Yeah, and I actually had to make sure I made my innings and pick up a couple of pitchers. But, you know, that's been one of the things, too, is I've been, you know, pretty lucky watching the waiver wire. And, you know, finding the right guy to, you know, like I picked up the guy you mentioned yesterday from the Minnesota Reds, Cincinnati Reds. I forgot his name, Robert something. He got the win yesterday up for like five or six innings. And he was just someone I picked up on a whim. But I like the matchup, and, you know, I got another win and a good amount of strikeouts.
Yeah, you know, I've had really good luck as of late, kind of, you know, hunting down the waiver wire, and finally my guys are starting to return off the DL. You know, it took quite a while, but I, you know, luckily I'm slowly but surely, I think I'm down to, you know, the one team where I had an entire bench of guys who were hurt. I'm actually down to just one guy on the DL. So it's been a bit of a, hopefully it's at the right time. And, you know, as I can say, I'm getting healthy for the playoffs, Dan. So the problem is, of course, I have to hang on to that damn playoff spot to get in. So we'll see if my team does enough to get me there. But yeah, I thought that was humorous that they just all kind of started coming off the DL now. It's like, hey, okay, thanks guys. How you been? Nice to see you. You know, guys enjoy your break. So, yeah, you know, that's, you know, the fun stuff we kind of deal with on a regular basis here when you're, you know, when you're playing fantasy and you gotta get through all these things. So, you know, it's
at least how you guys made it.
Just part of the grind. Yeah, no, that's what I, you know, like I said, now I just gotta make sure I get in the playoffs. So, you know, that's the big key there is I have to, you know, have to find a way to sneak myself in and hopefully hang around a little bit, you know, make a little noise. Maybe I'll get lucky and, you know, even pick up a win. That would be really nice. So,
well,
we shall,
you know, and I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know how much of this goes into your game, but, you know, Yahoo has, you know, the stupid little medals, no big deal. You don't really get anything for them. It doesn't affect your season whatsoever. It's just a medal, right? In your Yahoo profile, which I believe I'm leading in medals in baseball, football, hockey, and basketball. All I need to do is win basketball and hockey, and then I'll have every medal there is available. The football one has, you know, hundreds, but I am leading in all of them. But one of the medals that kind of stood out for me this year in baseball that I wanted to get was the trade one. You know, you get a medal for making a trade, and then you get a medal for making five trades, the two leagues that we're in. So, I mean, essentially, if you had five leagues and you made a trade in each one, you're okay. But I seem to have made most of my trades in the auction league. And it was one of those where, you know, I think I'm learning that you can love the team that you drafted, but you've also got to draft these guys in hopes that they do good and you can sell high. You know, the only guy I really drafted with that theory this season was Ben Zobrist. And it came to the point where I just dropped him. So, you know, whoever picked him up, yeah, you got some good days when you got good days, and then you got a lot of bad days and days where he doesn't play. So you kind of take the good with the bad. But with the auction league is where I seem to have made maybe more of my bigger trades. I know you and I made, you know, little trades because for whatever reason, whenever you and I look at each other's teams, there's really nothing that matches up for both of us where we're both going, oh, wow, I really want your guy, you know, and you never really text me or email or, you know, phone and say, oh, I really want this guy from you. It just, I don't know how that ends up working out where our teams just never match up well for, you know, decent trades. It's usually like, well, I'll give you this guy if you give me that guy. And we're both like, yeah, whatever, let's just do it. But my auction team, I had Chris Bryant and Justin Turner and a handful of others, but those are the two that stand out to me the most because I was able to flip them for better pitching. And it turns out, you know, while moving guys around, I was able to pick up Alex Bregman in a trade. So, you know, my third base got filled. But the thing that kind of was odd to me was the fact that, you know, I had Justin Turner. This guy was the all-star. Who was the runner-up for third base National League all-star? Chris Bryant, who I had also. I was trying to move Kyle Schwarber the whole season, but I just couldn't get any takers on that one. But that was a bad pickup. How was I supposed to know? How was anybody supposed to know this year? Whatever reason, Big Jack, when I started making these trades, this was well before, obviously, the deadline and before we were worried about getting in the playoffs, really. So I was like, well, you know, I'm in 12th or 13th place at the time, and I just figured, what the hey, I'll start making some trades and just see how this pans out. Well, I'm in sixth place now. So, I mean, how much do you think that that affects your game? And again, like I started off with, you can't love your team that much or you can't get rid of anybody. I feel like throughout the season, you have to continuously make moves. And I guess this goes on Mr. Fantasy theory a little bit, where you got to try to make moves, not just to make them, but to kind of switch things around because guys get hot, guys get cold. And obviously you want them when they're hot, you can sell them and they get cold when you get rid of them. I mean, how much do you think that affects how your season can turn out? Where, as opposed to maybe being one of those guys, like I know you've said you've been in leagues where there's certain guys who refuse to trade.
Yeah, well, first off, I have to tell you that Mr. Fantasy didn't make any trades in our Money League Baseball League this year. So, you know, that's first off. He didn't get anything accomplished there. I'm always a full believer in making a trade, but like I rarely make a trade just to make a trade, oddly, unless it's with you or Mr. Fantasy. You know, I won't,
yeah.
You know, cause I know you guys and you know, it's one of those things. So I'm not like, you know, uncomfortable with it. You know, if I know somebody and I think it's kind of a straight up trade that doesn't help either, you know, I'll still make it if I know the person, cause you know, I'm comfortable with them. But yeah, otherwise I'm really, you know, when I go into, like when I send a trade, the original trade you're probably going to get from me will definitely be slated towards my favor. You know, and I know it's one of those things where, you know, especially early in the season, because I drafted these guys and I'm expecting big things out of them, you know, where like Mr. Fantasy can draft a guy and give him up the next week. I can't do that because I'm really expecting him to have a breakout season. That's why I picked him. It takes me a little time to kind of get in the flow of it before I'm ready to say, okay, well, this guy, you know, I was wrong on this guy. I probably should make a move here. And I know that, you know, that holds me up a little bit. And, you know, the fact that I did draft these guys, so I obviously liked these guys, you know, a lot of times I don't want to get rid of them. You know, like even I think you and I made the trade where I ended up giving you Jeff Samardzija. And yeah, as weird as it sounds, that was a difficult trade to make because, you know, his record sucks, obviously, and his ERA is a little high. But in a category league, man, the guy racks up strikeouts. And it was tough to let those go. You know, it's just one of the, you know, it's one of those odd things you deal with when you're in these kind of leagues.
Well, and with Jeff Samardzija too, you look at his record and, you know, the one thing that I just don't like is it, you know, fantasy doesn't translate to reality. In fantasy, granted, like you said, we're a category league. The wins and losses, yeah, they suck. But at the end of the day, as long as you have one less loss than your opponent and one more win, his loss didn't mean anything. And Jesse Margin might get a loss in the column, but he also may have gone 7 or 8 innings, struck out a minimum of 12 people, and only given up 3 runs to give you a quality start and the wins on the strikeout. So that always helped out. But, you know, I guess before we move on, finish answering my question, do you ever draft a guy or two with the hopes that maybe you could turn him around into something. You know, that didn't work out for
Oh,
me.
Yeah, we just we actually just did that in our money league. You know, obviously it's a little smaller draft. You know, in our leagues, you know, when you get 20 teams, that can be a little tough to do. But like Mr. Fantasy and I had got off to, you know, the league here is interesting because unlike ours, you only start one running back. Now you do have a flex position that a lot of guys use a secondary running back for, you know, but like in our case, and I got to double check here because with all these teams, I've got to remember who the actual first running back we took was. Come on, internet, not now. So let's go. That's right. In the first round, we took Jordan Howard of the Bears. Then later on, we settled on Lamar Miller of the Texans to be our backup or our flex guy, depending on how kind of the week goes. Then as the draft was going on, I noticed that Rob Kelly of the Redskins was just sitting there, and he sat there for a few extra rounds because teams had already had their running backs, and they, you know, either didn't want a third one or they didn't want a backup at that time or however they were going to do it. And I pointed it out to Mr. Fantasy. I said, hey, grab this guy. He's supposed to be a starter. You know, if he breaks out and he starts putting up good numbers, well, we've got trade bait right there because in reality, we don't need him. As long as, you know, Jordan Howard and Lamar Miller stay healthy, we're fine at the running back spot. So now we're sitting on an extra guy. I do things like that a lot. You know, just looking around because it's like, oh, okay, hey, cool. You know, this guy could be trade bait later.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's more about making moves. Because you remember one of my earlier trades, one of my trades involved, and he just popped in my mind, was Clint Frazier. I mean, so I guess my thing is, are you a big believer in watching The Wire and be able to make something out of nothing? Because I was able to pick up Clint Frazier and I wasn't really looking to trade him, but I threw out a trade to somebody and that's who they wanted. They didn't want Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah.
They wanted Clint Frazier. So, you know, I was actually able, besides him, there was another, I think a guy or two I was able to do that with. And this is a strategy. I don't know if it'll work with basketball, you know, but I think it'll work with hockey. So you'll definitely be seeing me. I'll be watching The Wire probably a little bit more in hockey than I will be in basketball. But to you know, try to be able to make those moves. Because you remember a guy like Artemi Panarin, he came up and, you know, unfortunately it was the Chicago guy who was all over it and didn't get rid of him.
Yeah.
But, you know, that would be something I would be looking to do to kind of move on. And I know, you know, Frazier was hot for a while, but then he kind of settled down. So it worked out into my
advantage. Then he got hurt.
Oh, that's right. But I mean, I guess that's the bigger thing. Do you think you could have maybe a more productive fantasy season making moves, you know, be it watching the waiver and then doing trades, incorporating both into your strategy?
Yeah, well, in our league, you know, anytime you're in a league like ours and it's 20 or more, you have to watch the waiver wire. If you're not paying attention to call-ups and, you know, even the simplest thing is what always happens during the year, somebody loses their closer job. You know, you go through, you've got to know these things. And, you know, like the guy I had targeted was I had wanted Trevor Rosenthal in as many different leagues as I could get him because I knew sooner or later he would end up being the Cardinals closer again. Now, sadly, he got the job back and then got hurt. So it didn't quite go my way. But for a while, you know, like in our money league, I was able to find him on the waiver wire. Now, that's a 15-team league, so it's close to ours. But there are some options out there. And, I've been the term they use is streaming starting pitchers for a little while in the auction league because of my injuries. So to make my innings, I was hunting down guys who were making starts because we have to get the 34 innings. It's actually 34 and two thirds, and it's not that easy. So, you know, I was streaming guys like I used the Kendall Graveman matchup that worked really well for me because he was pitching against a good team. You know, I used Blake Snell in a matchup that was supposed to favor him that sadly didn't work out for me. I think he ended up giving up 7 runs. But yeah, you know, I've been going through guys like that. And like one of the guys I stumbled on was Parker Bridwell of the Angels. And at first I was just streaming him, but he pitched so well, I hung on to him. So yeah, you know, you need to hunt down guys like that in your bigger leagues. And, you know, even like football, you know, the minute somebody gets injured and it's a starter, you start looking for that next guy. Oh, wait, who's his backup? You know, what are we doing here? I mean, the perfect example, obviously, is Ezekiel Elliott. While he is playing this week, if the suspension holds, well, you're looking at 6 weeks without their number one running back. Well, right away, you want to know who their number two is. Well, you know, it's Darren McFadden, and then even Albert Morris is behind him, who's probably going to get some carries. So, you know, these things are, it's unbelievable how, and it sounds stupid, or even just one of those things where you're like, oh yeah, everybody knows that, blah, blah, blah. But it's so important, and some guys just do it better than other guys. And that can be the difference between getting in the playoffs and, you know, just kind of being a fantasy guy.
Well, I mean, we talked about this before, and I know with the way you take your 4 hour sleeps every day, your naps.
Yeah.
I know it's not as easy when you're getting up at 1 to go to work at 2 or whatever. But I mean, that was something that worked out better for me when I worked the night shift. If you remember, I was able to, I was sitting there, you know, and right when I got home with 12, 1 o'clock on a Thursday night going, oh, so this happened. Well, let me get this guy in and this guy for, you know, this upcoming Sunday. That worked out for me, but I didn't realize they had a term for it, streaming. I mean, I've been kind of doing that, picking up guys. You know, I was able to land Lucas Giolito. I was surprised, being in the Chicago-centric league, that he was on the wire. And, you know, he put together a great performance this Sunday. I don't think he got a win, but he got a lot of strikeouts, and it was a great performance. I did that with a young man, Ty Black. I just can't believe I said that, young man. Ty Black.
Young man. Black. So, ooh, how old are you?
Yeah. Well, he was probably born when I was graduating high school. But, you know, from the Giants. And I rode him for a while, but, you know, sadly, I think after a month or two, he had to go. But before I take off, I got to take a break for a couple minutes to get my daughter. I was hoping you can explain streaming and, you know, what started that or, you know, how they came up about that that term.
Yeah, I have no idea where the term came from. I just heard it on one of the fantasy shows. Actually, it was back when I had Sirius XM radio and I was listening to those guys for the football season, and I had my worst season ever because I listened to those guys and I took their advice because allegedly they were all winning money in all their leagues or whatever. But yeah, streaming for baseball, especially for baseball, means you pick a starting pitcher. You know, like, let me see if I can pull somebody up here really quick that would fit the bill. And see here, do we have anybody? Okay, here you go. For the Reds tonight, they're starting a pitcher by the name of Ty, I'm going to guess this is Mahl, M-A-H-E-L. Streaming would be you pick Ty up, you use him for today, you get his innings. Hopefully, you know, you're looking at a good start out of him. That's why you would be picking him up. Then you would immediately cut him and turn around and look for a pitcher going tomorrow, like maybe Luke Weaver of the Cardinals going against the Pirates. And then, you know, after you got your use out of Luke Weaver, maybe you don't need any more innings for the week, so you could wait till next week to start it again. Or maybe you would have to drop Weaver and turn right around and find another guy like Mark Leiter Jr. has been pitching pretty well for the Phillies. He's starting Saturday against the Nationals. You think, oh, well, it's the Nationals. Well, he's pitching against Edwin Jackson. So he's got a really good matchup there. That's what streaming means, is you just pick a guy up to get his numbers and then you get rid of him right away. You're not looking to hold on to him. I don't know how they came up with the term for fantasy. It was actually before they started with all the different TV things where you could stream on your other devices and stuff. So I don't know, maybe they need to change the term or how it works out, but that's you know, that's where it kind of fell out. So that's the best example I think I can give you, and you know, we'll take it from there. So, but yes, I think like Dan said, he disappeared there for a little bit to pick up his daughter, but let's take a look, since I was talking schedule and some of the pitchers tonight, who are some of your good guys to look at tonight. You know, I mentioned John Lester's making his second start coming off the DL. Maybe you're going that route. Of course, Corey Kluber, the Indians are looking for like their 15th win in a row. To be fair though, you know, the White Sox are pitching Carlos Rodon. He'll get his strikeouts. You know, the problem with Rodon is he doesn't give you very many innings. Throws a lot of pitches. Those pitch totals add up. Like I mentioned while we were doing FanDuel, I went with Lance Lynn. But, of course, Clayton Kershaw's pitching tonight. He's facing Colorado, who's really been struggling. So, you know, if you want to spend the money on FanDuel tonight, Kershaw may be the guy to go with if, you know, you think that Colorado's going to stay down. Now, we did have one final earlier. I believe it was just a makeup. I don't think it's a doubleheader game. But the Yankees really took it to the Orioles. Let me see. Here it is. Yeah, 9-1. Let me hunt up the box score here really quick, as my internet likes to have fun with me when I want to do things quickly. Let's see here. All right, for the Yankees, yeah, they totaled 13 hits as a team. Brett Gardner was 2-for-3. He scored a couple runs and actually walked a couple times. So he picked up some big numbers for you there. Chase Headley was 1-for-4 with a run and two RBIs. Now, his hit was a home run, so obviously you're picking up a little bit there. Dan's guy, D.D. Gregorius, was 3-for-5 with two runs scored and an RBI. Yeah, 3-for-5 with an RBI and two runs scored. Two of his three hits were doubles. So, you know, D.D. having another big night. Aaron Judge was 1-for-4. But he did have two runs scored. He drove in two runs and he walked once. Now, of course, that means his hit was a home run, which it was his 39th of the year there. So what else we got? Todd Frazier was 1-for-3 with an RBI and a run scored. His hit was a solo home run. That was Frazier's 23rd of the year. And I skipped over my guy, Starling Castro. While he was only 1-for-5, his hit was a home run. So he got an RBI and scored a run. So that's a big, you know, big plus there. Over on the Orioles side, Tim Beckham was 2-for-3. Adam Jones was 2-for-4 with a run scored. He did double. That was the Orioles' only extra base hit. They only managed 7 hits. So, like, Chris Davis was 1-for-3. Curtis Joseph. Is it Curtis Joseph? No, it's not Curtis Joseph. What's the catcher's name? Why am I drawing a blank? Caleb Joseph. Thank you. I had to pop it up there real quick on the deal. Yeah, Caleb, he was 1-for-3, so not a lot for the Orioles. Pitching-wise, if you went with Sonny Gray, he just missed giving you a quality start. He went 5 2/3 innings, gave up 6 hits and a run, but it was unearned. He did strike out 5, but he walked 2. Kevin Gausman took the loss. Gausman had been pitching a little better, but, man, not today. 3 innings, 5 hits, 5 runs, they were all earned. He walked 3, struck out 4. So you're not getting a ton out of either starting pitcher today. So good luck there. But yeah, if you pick the right Yankee hitters, man, or if you have the right Yankee hitters, you put up some numbers today.
Yeah, you know, that's
wait, you just went dead in the middle of your comment there. So did you mute yourself or what happened? Oh, where did Dan go? Dan, where are you?
All right, here we go.
There we are. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go.
You know, I guess the stupid storm really threw me off yesterday, because they're out of the 6 lineups, I forgot to take Aaron Judge out, so that didn't do me any good. And Starlin in one lineup. I was able to take Didi and Starlin out of my lineup that I had them both in. But from the numbers you threw out there today, I think they could have helped boost some of my scores from last night.
Yes. All right. Well, I have an interesting question for you because I heard this today, and you know, I'm a stat guy. I'm not a sabermetric guy, but I am a stat guy. And going back and looking at the stats, I can kind of understand this. Now, you know, when you talk about Yankees or you think Yankees, everybody right away says that Aaron Judge is a candidate for MVP, correct?
Yeah. I thought he was rookie of the year.
Okay. You know, he's got he's got 39 home runs. He's got 87 RBIs. The average is down to 276. But Dan, looking at it here, if Judge is a candidate, why isn't Didi? He's hitting 292. Believe it or not, Didi's got 20 bombs. He's driven in 67. Now, he had that little injury stint. He's only played 115 games to Judge's 134. But, you know, I mean, you're looking at a guy whose average is almost 20 points higher. He actually has more hits than Judge in, you know what, almost 20 less games, 19 less games. You know, he's looking at probably a 25 homer season by the end of the year, maybe closer to 30. And, you know, he's hitting almost 300. He's hitting 292. He's far and away the better defensive player out of the two players. I mean, Didi's a Gold Glove shortstop. Mm-hmm. Where's the buzz for Didi? Why is there no Didi talk and it's just all Aaron Judge?
Oh, because Aaron Judge is a monster, number one. But I think the flip side of it, too, is, you know, the one thing, I definitely put him in the talks. But for me, the thing that disqualifies him on my ballot or voting or whatever you want to call it would be the low RBI numbers. But, you know, and I think I lean more like you with the stats, not so much the sabermetrics, because they don't use sabermetric stats in FanDuel, unless I missed that page. And they're not, you know, they're not officially listed on Major League Baseball's website. So, you know, I like the numbers, and I could deal with the lower home runs. I think if he was closer to 30 finishing off, that would definitely give him that boost. But I think not being so close to 100, because when I'm thinking about an MVP type guy, he's got to be at least 80 plus. Wouldn't you think so? Or do you kind of see it that way?
Yeah, well, you know, to be fair, you know, they hurt Didi at the beginning of the year by hitting him towards the bottom of the order. You know, he was hitting, you know, down around 7, I believe, for the majority of the year. He's recently just been moved up. I believe he's been actually hitting cleanup most of the time. You know what I mean? I get it. He'll be overlooked because he doesn't hit the mammoth home runs and you know, these kind of things. But, I think a real MVP voter should be able to find these guys. And, you know, he's as much of the reason for the Yankees' success, if not more than Judge, because he plays a tougher defensive position. So, but, yeah, you know, I get it. You know, they're going to, you know, Judge is going to win whatever. If it's not MVP, he'll win Rookie of the Year. And, you know, Mike Trout will probably win MVP again, even though he doesn't deserve it. And, you know, it's just kind of the thing, you know, we have to settle on when you realize you have these kind of people voting. You know, they're not really looking too deep into what it is. They're just basically going off of what the media says, or in some cases, you know, the network they work for has all the power with the votes. So, you know, that's just kind of how it ends up going.
It's almost like mafia unions, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's pretty much, I mean, you know, we could go over it a bazillion times from last year, and you can't convince me Mike Trout was the MVP. You know, there's absolutely nothing you could say that could prove to me he was the MVP. You know, I mean, it was just they decided he deserved it because he had to lose to Miggy when Miggy won the Triple Crown. As stupid as that was, I said has to, because there were people who honestly thought Trout was the MVP. So, you know, I don't get it. I mean, Jose Altuve should have won it last year. He probably should win it again this year in the American League, but who knows? You know, they love Trout so much that no matter what anybody else does over there, they're going to gravitate to Trout and be like, oh, look at what he's doing. You know, and if the Angels manage to stumble into a wild card spot, I think they're a half game out now, you know, they're going to be slobbering all over him because he finally got in the playoffs, even if it's only for one game.
Well, and even if they get the wild card and they get knocked out by Boston's taking the wild card most likely, correct? Or no, Houston.
Or Boston or the Yankees.
Well, no, I meant, oh, that's right. We have the one game. I forgot. We have the one game. And then we have the best team plays that wild card winner. So, I mean, if they take it out, but, you know, it's still Altuve on the best team. So you would think that would have more clout than the handed off best player. And, but, you know, I mean, it's almost like when they had the moniker for LeBron, you know, it always was the greatest player on the earth today, LeBron James. I mean, when are they going to start that for Mike Trout? That's pretty much how they do it.
Well, you know, yeah, depending on who you listen to, they kind of do that anyways. You know, it's like, you know, he's the greatest player in baseball. And, you know, to be fair, he is. He's probably the best player in baseball. You know, there's no doubt about that. I mean, he's a fantastic player. You know, the issue, of course, is the fact that he doesn't need their help for us to know he's a great player. You know, they kind of run into these things and they do, you know, they really do more harm than good just, you know, just because obviously he's, you know, I mean, you and I watch enough baseball to know he's a good player. Do they really need to treat him like they do for anybody else to know? I mean, if you're any type of baseball fan, you know Mike Trout, don't you?
Yeah. And you know Bryce Harper more than how he's got the braids. You know, kind of going back to LeBron for a second, you know, he made a statement a couple of years ago. He wasn't too happy about it. It actually sounded, I guess he made a statement, made a question that sounded more like a very bitter old man. But I think it does have some validity when you kind of step back and listen to what he asked and, you know, truly what does define the most valuable player? You know, and
yeah,
I think
you know,
that's the one thing that really causes more of the issue is there really isn't a definition other than that's who we voted for, so he is.
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at it, and sadly the way it goes now, it's the best player on the best team is who the MVP is pretty much. Or I guess I should say the best player on a playoff team. Because really that's with the exception of Mike Trout, that's what they really seem to look for. You know, obviously some years it's easier, you know, like Chris Bryant was obviously the best player in the National League last year. He just happened to be on the best team, you know, but like they gave it to Trout in the American League. For the life of me, I don't understand why. I don't know what they saw in his numbers or anything like that, that made them think he deserved to be the MVP. So, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, what goes through their mind, you know, how do they decide, you know, what's what and all that other kind of funky stuff. I don't know. I don't understand it. You know, I'm not sure if you could get a voter to explain it to you, but you know, that's what we get.
That's the way I voted, and that's just because that's what I like.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the Hall of Fame voting, where whereas the guy who said he wouldn't vote for anybody who played in the steroid era, even if they were, you know, even if they were clean or they were proven not to be, proven to not be using. It's like, okay, great. So what, right. You know, so what are these guys supposed to do? You know, I mean, you know, like Frank Thomas advocated against PEDs his entire career. And, you know, so he was clean. Obviously he was a Hall of Famer. He is, he got in regardless, but yeah, you just kind of, you know, it's kind of like, hey, great. Thanks for participating. Why do you still have a vote? So, but you know, again, it's that thing, you know, we get the fun part of dealing with and, you know, trying to figure out what goes on. So, but yeah, you know, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, here we go. Let's see what this is. And I figured, you know, you would like the DD thing. So
Sir DD.
So yes, is that what he is now, Sir DD? Yes.
Well,
yeah, that's true.
Name.
Do they call him that?
Yeah, it doesn't. They don't do that in the States. It only counts over in Europe.
No.
Like Steven Spielberg. He's Sir Steven when he goes to England, but we don't call him that here.
Oh. So, wow, that's kind of sad.
Yeah, I don't get the politics of it, but you know, maybe because we don't have royalty here, we just have politicians. If they could.
So, yeah, that's just what we, you know. So, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you brought up Didi, and Didi's been a guy we've been watching. Would you say his whole career? I mean, time flies by. We've already been doing this show for over 5 years. Time flies by. And, you know, Didi was a guy I picked up on the waiver wire back a couple of years ago playing for Arizona. Now, I have no idea who Arizona received back. I don't know if you can quickly ding that one or, you know, Baseball Reference that one in that trade. But, I mean, you know, I guess you could say I wasn't super high on, you know, the Yankees taking and using Didi at the shortstop spot. Ever since Castro's issues with the Cubs, starting with, I don't remember which one of the managers it started with, but from the kicking dirt days, I mean, you and I have pegged him to be a great fit for the Yankees since then. So almost the last 4 years before he was traded. So I was a little on the thought of having, you know, Didi play short and keeping with the Yankees and, you know, having our guy Starling going over to second base. And then, you know, once the Yankees made the trade for Gleyber, you know, it's kind of like, well, who's the odd man out? Obviously Gleyber didn't come up this year, and I think we're still waiting on that to kind of play out. But I mean, when you look at it, you know, I felt like the Yankees didn't know what they were doing picking up Didi, who's, I think he still has a couple of years left on the contract, I think through 18 or 19, maybe even 20. You think it's kind of turned the other way around and it's looking like a pretty great deal that they were able to pick him up?
All right, well, let's see. First, I can tell you that he is arbitration eligible until 2020, or actually 2019. He won't be a free agent until the year 2020. Secondly, the Yankees acquired him as a part of a three-team trade. The Yankees sent relief pitcher Shane Green to the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers sent minor league, doesn't say if he's a pitcher or not, Domingo Leyba and Robbie Ray to the Arizona Diamondbacks. In return, the Yankees got Didi Gregorius.
Well, I mean...
The only team that lost out there appears to be the Tigers, because Didi's turned out to be just fine for the Yankees, and you know Robbie Ray, even after getting hit in the head, is coming into his own. So Domingo Leyva, by the way, is a shortstop second baseman who is currently in, looks like double A for the Diamondbacks. So he is, he's only 21 years old. So there's still time there.
Wasn't there something behind Sean Green too? Wasn't he supposed to kind of break out, or the name I kind of remember, but then, and what year was that? Was that 2014?
That was before the 2015 season. So, but yeah, he had been a pretty solid starter for the Yankees. Looking at his numbers here, he made 14 starts for them. While he was only 5-4, his ERA was 3.78, which we know in the American League is pretty good. He stunk with the Tigers as a starter. He made 16 starts there in 2015. He was 4-8 with a 6.88 ERA. He's since been moved to the bullpen, and he's kind of found his way this year. He's 3-3 in 63 games with a 2.67 ERA. So he seems to kind of worked it out, but I believe obviously they thought they were going to get a middle of the rotation starter, not a setup man. So
yeah.
So yeah, just kind of how trades go.
I didn't realize Robbie Ray was in that deal, and I'm sure back then we were like, who?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, back then, he was a prospect. I mean, he had made 6 starts and appeared in 9 games when he got dealt. Here you go, Dan. He was 1-4 with an 8.16 ERA when they traded him.
Wow.
So, now he's 12-5 this year in 23 starts with a 2.80 ERA, and he was an All-Star.
Amazing.
So yeah, so sometimes you just never know.
Kind of makes up for that other deal that Diamondbacks made with the Braves.
Yeah. It's odd that you don't hear about this deal, but man, they'll throw the Dansby Swanson Shelby Miller deal in your face right away, even though Swanson ended up in the minors and hasn't really become anything, and neither's Aaron Blair, the other guy they got in that deal that was supposed to be such a, such a gigantic steal for the Braves. I think in the end it probably will, because Miller's just going to be nothing, but it doesn't seem to be the steal it was.
No, and I mean, I tried every time picking up Aaron Blair when he was available, and nothing really came out of it. It's almost like the even with the Pirates, you there was a lot of talk with Tyler Glasnow, and I don't know what it is. I guess because I watched a few of his starts, and there's always something to be said about seeing the guy's first start and stuff like that. You really want to see them succeed, but he's another one. I mean, we're in the second season, he kind of comes up, goes back down, comes up. So you wonder if next year will be his year. I mean, even Lucas Giolito, you and I weren't talking about him because he was a White Sox. We were talking about him when he came up with the Nationals.
Yeah. All right, well, it's time for Dan and I to take off. But, hey, we're going to come back tomorrow to wrap up the week here on Sports Time Radio. You know the deal while we're away, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out what goes on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. We'd appreciate that. Don't forget to jump on and follow that Twitter feed as well, at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan on Twitter. You can find Dan and I on Twitter also. As always, we really appreciate you listening live. Thanks for taking the time to do that. But don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.
Sports Time Radio.